Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And we got our good friend Joan Pride here. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors and a more than 11-year member of our Brain Trust. And she's our good friend Joan. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Can't believe it.
How about that?
Wow.
Congratulations. Thanks for being here. Joan, we should have done this show on Tuesday. Because it was Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I read this lead, after all the years that you and I've done this show and talked about this topic, I feel like I'm experiencing Groundhog Day.
Like the movie?
Well, yeah. Like, you know, deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when I read this thing, state budgets holes are getting deeper. Revenues fell dramatically. They're having trouble meeting their health care, their unemployment costs, blah, 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 bankruptcy looms, et cetera, et cetera. These are my words. We've talked about this two or three times in the last 11 years.
Yeah, you would think.
I mean,
yeah.
You see my point about the Groundhog Day thing?
Oh, sure.
I feel like we're just doing it all over. We can almost just, for all I know, you guys have recycled an old leader here or something. Listen, repurposing works for me. okay, so what's the news here?
Well, the news is in our own inimitable fashion, we say if the federal deficit is a runaway train, states have already gone over the cliff. So we are not our usual Pollyanna selves here. This is not, you know, things are not good.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
In fact, Joan, I predicted that California would become more than just de facto bankrupt, but they would require the government to bail them out this year.
Yeah.
And that was one of my 2010 predictions.
And it's going to get worse. That's one of our points is that it's getting worse next year.
Yeah. It's not getting any better.
Yeah.
And how many times have we sat here talking about these things, Joan, with this very topic, and wondering why the states don't build up a rainy day fund? But you know, some states
are they allowed to? I'm not sure that they're allowed.
Really?
To.
Are you being serious?
Seriously.
Huh. Oh, okay. So that's like
I don't know that they could.
That's
just
like
keep
antithetical
money sitting around.
That's like antithetical to politicians. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think there are budget rules in these states that because I've had that question.
But see,
come
I don't.
Before.
The reason that well, it may be that way in some states, but some states it's not because I hear some states like I think the governor of Indiana talks about how his state is, you know.
Yeah, but see, no one is going to vote. If you've got a politician who has two choices, have a little rainy day fund or spend money on something that voters are going to like, what are you going
to
do?
Well, see, now you're coming back to
you're
what
you're not going
to
win any elections for having
now
a rainy day
fund. Now you're answering
my
question. Is
right,
it
but I still think there are rules in some states that don't allow you to,
you may
to
be right.
Have a surplus or a deficit.
What a dumb thing to have.
I know.
So, but the course, probably, obviously, the mother's milk of their solution is revenue, tax revenue, which is off significantly,
right.
Income tax revenue because of the economy, sales tax revenue because of the economy,
right?
You know, et cetera, et cetera. It's a big mess, and yet, Joan, they don't have any fewer people. Those people aren't any less ill. In fact, with the people being unemployed, they're a bigger drain on the Medicaid program, aren't they?
Oh, that no question about it.
Which tell the audience who funds the Medicaid programs?
States and the federal government.
But primarily, it's an unfunded mandate or a partially funded mandate from the state, from the government, right? For the states,
right? Yeah.
And it's the Medicaid is one of the things is basically bankrupting, you know, helping to put these states into these kind of financial straits, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So the healthcare costs are rising, unemployment amount, that's coming from the states too, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so, of course, we got some states worse than others, but but I don't know of any state, there may be one or two, but most states are tracking pretty closely to that 10%, aren't they?
Yes, that's
in unemployment.
True.
And of course, you and I both know that that number, that, that unemployment number is really not an accurate number, 10%.
Yeah.
Many people say it's more like 20%. 10% are just the people we're actually identifying
right
now.
That's
when
right.
you put it, when you put it in the people who are not trying anymore, who dropped off of the statistics, and then you got the underemployed people,
right?
So it could be a lot worse. Hold on to that thought, John. We're gonna talk. We got more to come, folks.
Okay.
After these messages, we're gonna talk some more about some of the problems the states are in. We're gonna talk a little bit about the federal economy, the overall national economy. We got a little healthcare news. We got some small business news. A lot more to come after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
I chose to create. You don't know what you got until it's gone. And I found out a little too late.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. Little ZZ Top bringing us back. That little band from Texas, Joan Pride's favorite band. Right, Joan?
Oh, gosh.
Joan Pride's with us, ladies and gentlemen. Senior editor with the Kipling Editors. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. And lots of good stuff there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And the Kiplinger website is kiplinger.com. Right, Joan?
Oh, yes, sir.
It's a good one. And so I hope you check it out, too, and check out all their publications. The tax letter, the agriculture letter, the biofuels letter, and the magazine.
Our magazine is Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And what about that phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Don't forget that 30-day free trial I worked so hard
That's
for,
very important.
Too, by the way. Joan, just wrapping up on the state, the problems the states have.
Right.
You call it dire states. I love that. Now, please promise me that you guys are hip enough that was really a little play on words there, right?
Oh, yeah, because I know the guy who did this. And
okay, he knows about dire straits,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, folks, we're not talking about the term dire straits, although it works, but when I see that, I'm thinking of the musical group Dire Straits.
Of course.
But anyway, dire states.
Because and I are dinosaurs, that's why.
Exactly. So this is an interesting graphic here, Joan. I mean, from zero, budget issues from before the 80s, only dipped below the line once in like 83 when that recession
right.
we had.
Right, right.
Even, I mean, and all the way through, never goes below the line again until 08.
Right, but.
And that falls off the table.
The trend was down from. 2000. What is that? 2007.
Like off the table.
Yeah, would just sink like a stone. Beginning, it looks like 2006.
Yeah, but there were other times. I mean, in the early part of the decade, after that recession and being attacked and everything, that fell off the table too. But it pulled itself out before it got to zero.
Right.
But this, I mean, folks, this is if you could see this graph, and I really wish you would go there and check it out. If you could see this graph, you'd see that the state problems that we have right now in the states, I'm not going to say it's historic, but it's historic over the last 25 years.
Right.
I'm going to say around 23 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty, now I'm sorry about that. It's 30, over 30 years, Joan.
Wow.
Over 30,
that's
look at that.
Even worse.
Well, look at it, it's 80.
Yeah.
It's before 80, so it's over 30 years, my friends. This, I mean, if you could see this graph, you would see the other times, Joan, you and I were worried about the states. We shouldn't have been worried about them compared to this time.
Right, exactly.
So what's going to happen? I mean, Joan, yet I hear about the government employee roles are growing. How's that happening?
Well, again, you want votes, so you want to try to do something to make
Jeez
people happy.
Pete.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going to solve the problem. But here's the other thing, Joan. The federal government doesn't have the money to bail these guys out.
Well, that's right.
So, I mean, folks, we could see some unprecedented circumstances this year from some of these states, like I was concerned about with California. John, let's move on and talk about the economy. The Federal Reserve did not raise rates recently, and you guys, in their meeting last week, and you guys say that they're probably not going to.
That's right. It's going to be a while.
For a while. Yeah. And that's probably a wise thing. I didn't even include it in any of my predictions. I thought it was such a non-event for 2010. I didn't even include it in my predictions. So I think I agree with you on that. Construction, you guys talking about in the overall economy, the construction industry is going to have another tough year. What's that all about?
A rough year ahead, we say, because costs are going to climb a bit for materials, and companies will be squeezed further. So... now, the flip side of this, we say, if you need to build, this is probably a good time to do it.
Yeah, well, because you can probably get some pretty good deals, right?
Right.
But you know, here's the problem, Joan. Where are you going to get the loan? Where are you going to get the financing for that?
Yeah.
Because basically you're talking about...
Oh, you always see the cloud in the silver lining.
Well, basically you're talking about commercial building, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're basically talking about here. And so with commercial properties in such dire straits these days, to continue the metaphor, you know, that's going to be a problem. But then, Joan, you know, in the earlier part of this hour, I interviewed Mike Menzies, our resident banker in the Brain Trust, about this $30 billion of TARP, repaid TARP money the president wants to give to community banks.
Right.
So this might help some of this construction stuff, because obviously, just because we've got construction problems in, you know, a handful of key areas like South Florida, Las Vegas, et cetera, that doesn't mean that we don't need to build something in Peoria.
That's right.
So maybe I've been wrong about this government. Mike seems to think that Mike says, Joan, depending on how the government structures the money, how the flow of the money to the banks, and once it gets there, how they have to deal with, how they have to treat it, that's going to be the details of those details are going to determine whether it's successful or not.
Well, if Mike says it, it's true. I'm a big Mike Menzies fan.
Yes, sir. Mike Menzies, I agree with you 100%.
Listen to him.
So, folks, that's a little bit of a tour of kind of a couple of topics on the national economy there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit of health care. We're going to talk a little bit about some small business issues, too, right after these messages. Tintail, stay with us.
I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
Little Chicago bringing us back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as we wrap up the hour with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, let's move over and talk about this healthcare point that you guys make, this healthcare coverage report that you have on regard what you say, regardless of the healthcare overhaul, whatever happens with that. This Medicare issue is still with the doctors is still a problem.
Right. There's a looming 21% cut in Medicare payments to doctors, and it's already in the law. So, and scheduled to take effect on March 1st. But I think this is one of those things that Congress has been, you know, kicking it down the road. So it looks like they'll kick it down the road again and actually maybe give physicians more, which I'm amazed to see.
You know, well, Joan, you know, I heard the president of the manager of a pretty large hospital speak the other day.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how poorly remunerated doctors are for Medicare work these days, to the point where more and more doctors are telling people who call in, we're not taking any more new Medicare patients.
Oh, yeah.
See, and so, you know, I'll tell you, if you wanted to watch, If you wanted to have an idea, in my opinion, this is Jim Blassingame, folks, saying this. If you want to see what your healthcare system with more government control would look like, just go watch the Medicare program. I mean, it's a cautionary tale for this other program, and I think they're playing games with this, Joan, because as you know, they've got this what they call the doctor fix, you know, in the new Medicare program, which is along the lines of this 21% cut that they're talking about. They need to cut to cover their expenses,
right?
But they know that they can't because it's not going to be politically very, very positive. Because, Joan, this doesn't just hurt the doctors when they make those cuts. It hurts the patient that the patients that the doctors won't take.
Sure.
So this is all rolling downhill to the regular folks.
That's right.
And so, you know, just if folks, if you, you know, this is a topic. If you're on Medicare and there are millions of Americans out there who are, you know, you might want to pay attention to what's going on here.
Right.
If they cut another 21%, if that actually gets cut, or if it gets cut in half, that's going to affect, you know, doctors don't have to take these patients.
That's absolutely true.
They
yeah.
don't have to.
Right.
And so anyway, exporting, Joan, the White House, you guys report on that a little bit. The White House exporting promotion plans faces some tough sledding. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, the problem is we say that over half of the Democrats in the House favor renegotiating existing trade deals, and they want to get in labor and environmental clauses.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's going to make things difficult.
Well, see, the president talked about that. I was so proud of him. In fact, I complimented him. I wrote about it. I talked about it and I blogged about it, Joe, how I complimented him on his raising the issue of free trade
right.
and trade agreements. He even mentioned Colombia. And if you notice, Pelosi didn't jump up off of her seat when he mentioned Colombia that time, you know, because she's one of the people who's blocked the trade deal with Colombia. So good for him for saying that. But, Joan, we can't impose all of our standards on those countries just to do business with them. You know, we can't require them to be as politically correct as we are. And I mean, I can see where certain things, you know, you can negotiate certain things. That's all part of the negotiating a trade deal. But I think maybe we try to make them be more in our own image. That's the problem you guys are talking about. That's what you're mentioning.
Well, and
here.
That's why it's going to throw monkey wrenches into a lot of these.
That's
things.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Joan, moving over and talking about about small businesses. You say Democrats aren't the only losers in the court decision on campaign cash. Are you talking about that big companies will be able to have more political control and it could hurt small businesses?
Right. Right, which I hadn't really thought that through, but it's true. Now,
tell us,
a huge advantage over small firms with no money to spare.
So this is the court decision that allowed this, that was recent happened recently, the one the president brought
the
up.
The one the president mentioned and the one that Mr. Justice Alito said, not true, not
right,
true.
Right, right. This is where it was going to give corporations more ability to fund political campaigns.
Right.
And so that you're saying that might actually put small businesses
more big company pressure is almost a given, we say,
at a disadvantage. So folks, we'll have to pay attention to that too as it rolls out. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, with Kiplinger's. Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back, but it'll be tomorrow. I'll see you then.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.